The East Bay Business Times welcomes you to the Publisher's Notebook podcast, hosted by Mike Consul, publisher of the East Bay Business Times. The Publisher's Notebook features an interview with a different East Bay executive each week. This is an expanded audio version of the column that appeared in the weekly print edition. Publisher's Notebook is produced by XLRQ.com. This segment is sponsored by Studio Blue. And now your host, Mike Consul.
We are here with Ken Behring, owner of the Black Hawk Auto Museum, and made his way in the real estate and automobile industry. Ken, what was your first job, your very first job?
Mowing lawns.
What is your business philosophy?
Well, you try to be the best at whatever you do. I grew up extremely poor. My parents were poor. You had to be better than the other fellow to get any job and to make more money.
How do you stay motivated?
You become that way, I think, when you were young. If I wasn't motivated, I wouldn't have had anything. You go from one thing to the other. You didn't have the money, but you kept trying to improve. You'd have to sell to buy, and you'd go from one business to another, wherever you thought there was more money, until you finally get to the point where you've got the money, then it's easy.
So what is your guiding principle?
Well, it's changed a lot. When I was very young, it was to make money. Everything I could see, I measured my success and amount of money, and you know, I gave to Red Cross or schools or whatever it was, but I really spent my complete early life trying to be successful in making money. It's the way you count the game. And you finally get to the point where you've climbed the mountain. Like in my book, I go through phases of your life. You know, you start out, first of all, you need more. I'd like to have more than one pair of boots. I'd like to have a pair of shoes. You know, you'd like to have not a coverall, but some pants. Then you get to the point, if you get an old car, you want a little better car. And you go from, first of all, you want more, then you want better. Whatever you had, you see that somebody else has better, so that motivates you on to the next generation of taking a better vacation, having a better car, having a better house. And after a number of years, if you're successful enough, I mean, you've run out of the better things you want, so then you have to go into different. And that's when I bought the football team, started the automobile museum, started doing museums, trying to find, again, something that would stimulate you other than money, because you really had climbed to the top of the mountain, and when you got there, you found there was nothing up there. I mean, you accomplished what you wanted, but you weren't fulfilled. So that's when you finally found the word purpose, and that's what my book's about, is to find a purpose in life where you could get something other than a reward of owning something. And found that giving back and helping people that nobody wants to help and giving hope to them, picking up people and putting them in a chair that have never walked, never moved, never been out of a hut, is a satisfaction that you cannot buy. It's even better than winning a football game when you're a professional owner, which if you don't win them, you're in trouble.
And the reference to the football team is, of course, the Seattle Seahawks.
Right.
Okay. How do you measure success?
Well, success comes from within when you feel that you've given a better product. In housing, we started, our biggest success was retirement, giving these people a very good residence and a way of life. We did everything on giving them a better way of life rather than just a house to live in. And all of Black Hawk, we promoted it as a way of life. A place to live where you're more than a house, a place you could really enjoy.
What goal do you have yet to achieve?
New ones come up every day. I think outside of the box on everything. So I've never been straight down. Every time you look at something, you find what you can do outside of that box, because that's where all the opportunities are. We've been very successful in wheelchairs and delivered about 600,000 to 158 countries. But we found water is a tremendous problem. And it's a problem that I'm very deeply into, but I do not have the answers, and I don't know if I ever will have them. I'm in partnership now with our National Academy of Science and the International Academy of Science, which is made up of the top scientists in the world. And we're going to try to be the one organization where everybody from the world can come to, and we can give them direction on how to solve their problem without us doing it. I mean, we will, there's Engineers Without Borders. We'll know everybody that has pumps, that have pills, that have... People now think oil is important. Well, water's going to be much more important. You can live without oil, but you can't live without water, and it's rapidly disappearing.
What's the best decision you've ever made?
I wanted to leave my small town where I grew up in.
Where was that?
Monroe, Wisconsin, 7,000 people. It's where I started in the automobile, but I just decided I needed to spread my wings, and I think it was 26 when I left finally.
What's the worst decision you've made?
You think you can do everything sometimes, and you find you can't. We were very successful in housing, so I started manufactured housing. And it was not a success. The product was good. But between unions and transportation and unions and transportation, it was not successful. So if you get in something that doesn't work, you trash it, throw it in the wastebasket, and go on to something else. A lot of people want to prove they're right. You can't prove you're right if you've made a bad decision. You're better off to spend that effort and time and achieving something that you do have a chance of being successful at.
What is your definition of leadership?
It's whatever you're doing, if you can get people to believe in what you're trying to achieve and go along. There's very few leaders really out there, and you know, who knows who is really a leader. But there's a lot of followers. Then to me, there's a lot of destroyers or people that would like to be a leader, but they don't have the ability, so they knock everything that the leader's trying to do. It's very difficult being a leader because everybody's trying to find why you can be wrong and how to knock you down. If you're a leader, you have nobody to go to. I mean, you have to make the decisions yourself.
What was your biggest missed opportunity?
Well, thinking back, by not having the money to keep all the products that we built and have had, and you know, we could have been so big in the building business, but I'm a 10-year person, and in 10 years I get tired of something, get out. I made a big mistake by selling the football team. It would have been worth three times today what I sold it for. But I'd had it 10 years, and if I wouldn't have sold it, I wouldn't have really gotten into wheelchairs and the other things.
So you were saying that the football team that you had would have been worth, what, two, three times what it was?
But everything that we've done would be... We sold lots here in Blackhawk at $35,000. One was just sold for $2.5 million. So I can go back everything. You know, I was in Las Vegas when there was nothing on the Strip. They were trying to sell me land on the Strip. I was over in Hong Kong when there was nothing across from the big hotel. You know, land that you couldn't even put a price on. But it's very easy to look back and see what you should have done. Hindsight, though, doesn't work.
Who was your mentor?
Really, I've never had one.
Never had a mentor, okay. What single word best describes Ken Behring?
Never satisfied, I guess.
What do you like best about what you do?
Thinking about new things, new ways of doing something, new ways of achieving.
What do you like least about what you do?
Personnel. I'm not very good with personnel, so I better have somebody else that handles people.
What are your interests?
Well, I'm so busy now. I'm traveling all over the world, and it's all the people that I meet. I mean, I can go to any country and have dinner with the president. Then the next day, I can go out and meet with the very poorest of the poor. And it's just the difference that you can do that really stimulates you. I enjoy very intelligent, very leaders, and being with them and talking with them. But then I enjoy going down and really seeing how the poorest of poor live, and knowing that our world has to change, and we have to start taking care of these people, or there'll be a revolt, because communication is too big now. These people are starting to realize, and that's one of the things with water. If we can't get drinking water to people, we've got a very serious situation, and I don't know the answer, and nobody else really knows it. But that's why I'm with all the top scientists in the world, and they're taking it kind of on as their top project.
What is your pet peeve?
I don't really have one.
No? What's the most important lesson you've learned?
Never to stay with something that doesn't work.
If you could meet any person, living or dead, and spend some time with them, who would you pick?
I've got so many friends now that I enjoy being with. Can't think of anybody outside. I spend a lot of time with King Juan Carlos in Spain. I admire him for what he's done in Spain. Spend a lot of time with Nelson Mandela because I think he did the same thing for South Africa. I spend a lot of time with leaders in China now because I think what they've done from communism to... Same with Gorbachev. I've spent time with him.
What is your greatest fear?
Well, I don't have any fear.
What is your idea of perfect happiness?
There is no perfect happiness. You have to have feeling down to feeling happy. I mean, you have to have disappointments to then have happiness.
What do you consider your greatest strength?
I'm able to make decisions instantly.
What characteristic do you most admire in people?
Honesty.
What characteristic do you most deplore?
People that use blackmail or something else to get at people. It's our whole political system almost that I spend a lot of time in Washington, but there's no way that things are either here or here, and we have to somehow change that. We're either going to have a middle party or nothing's going to get done.
What is your favorite quote?
I was with Nelson Mandela 1 week, and next week I went to China. I was with the mayor of Shanghai, and they both told me an identical quote, basically. They said, "We didn't ask you to come here. You came here because you wanted to, but you came here with no strings attached. That is friendship." And it was very obvious to know what they meant. For some reason, we think we're so great in this country, we can go, "Well, we'll give you this, but now you have to do this." You don't get things that way. You give them friendship with no strings attached, and then they're more apt to do what you want. It's like with your kids. If you do this, then I'll give you this. That causes resentment rather than giving. If you give, there should be no strings attached.
How would you characterize your current state of mind?
You see things you'd like to be able to help with and change, but you don't have the power to do it. You just hope that somebody else can do it.
So a little bit frustrated that you're not able to activate...
Yeah, I've worked hard on water, but we haven't... Every time I find a solution, run into another problem. With water, we can clean any water in the world. I've got the technology that we can clean anything. But you have to get it into the person's mouth. That's what's been so frustrating. Any place where they got bad water, we can clean it. But how do you get it to the people then at a very low cost?
How do you deal with disappointment?
Well, you try to find something that is the opposite of disappointment right away and go on to it. You know, you get disappointed. People don't do what you think they should or this or that. But, you know. That's life. You turn your back. Can't let it bother you because you don't want to get down into their category.
How do you deal with stress?
Well, you just have to think it out, anything that's stressing you. Normally, I like to do thinking in the middle of the night or in the morning when there's nobody around. And you try not to have stress because stress is going to wear on you. Money is... When you were young, was a stress because I never had enough, and I was always in red in my checkbook. But money is not the problem anymore, but it's people. People can cause you stress.
Do you have a favorite form of exercise?
No, not enough. I should have. You know, I play golf. I used to play a lot of tennis. Still like to swim. I used to do a lot of hunting and fishing, but I'm going to do some fishing and hunting this year again. But I've been so busy on... with the wheelchairs and the water that I'm never around. I'm booked up a year ahead already.
What question do you most want the answer to?
How can we get a peaceful world? What do you do when people will kill themselves and kill innocent people somehow from a religious thinking that that's going to put him in heaven. I feel so sorry for our troops over there and for Bush. There's no simple answer when people will kill themselves and kill others. Very hard to stop. I mean, the same as Hitler was training his young people to do. Japan had it, and the pilots that would kill themselves. So religion has been kind of in the back of every war, and religion's great, but it also causes a lot of problems. Because if you can get into people's minds, you can get them to do anything. And this is where the fanatics come from. And there are certain people, I guess they think they're leaders. This is where they get their pleasure out of, is getting these people where they can control them. I mean, we've seen it so many times here in this country. Got everybody to drink the poison down there. You know, it's just South American.
Right, Jim Jones.
Yeah.
Jonestown Massacre. I remember it. What is the most influential book you've ever read?
The World is Flat. I think he's done a good job on that. I enjoyed Atlas Shrugged because for her time, she said an awful lot of things that has happened since.
What has been the most ecstatic moment of your life?
I've had too many of them.
What's your most cherished possession?
My family.
How about your favorite movie?
I like Gone with the Wind.
Why Gone with the Wind?
I would have loved to live back in that time if I would have been one of the wealthy ones.
What's your favorite restaurant?
I have all over the world, so there's no really favorite, but every country I know some.
What's your favorite way to spend free time?
I don't know, I enjoy watching television.
And your favorite vacation spot?
I'm on vacation 12 months of the year.
Very good.
Thank you for joining this segment of the Publisher's Notebook with your host, Mike Consol. Publisher's Notebook is produced by XLRQ.com. This segment was sponsored by Studio Blue.